Journalist Brian Rowan investigated her murder for a BBC Spotlight programme. Good morning, Brian.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
And you must remember all those years ago that the family never thought for one minute that they would still be looking for answers.
Yeah, well, my contact with the family was at the time Lisa disappeared in 2005. As you say, as part of the Spotlight programme, and I remember visiting the family home, seeing people who didn't know what to think or what to do. You can imagine in those situations, all sorts of information is swirling around, all sorts of rumours. I visited the caravan site where Lisa was last seen. Elsewhere, I met the young man who was the last person to see her, who said they had been frightened by noises in the dark and that they'd run from the caravan and he had lost her. All of that then became a bit vague. You had a police investigation going on. You had the family trying to do what it could, offering a reward for information. Behind the scenes, you had loyalists carrying out the type of investigation they would carry out, including taped interviews with some of those who were in Lisa's company that weekend. And an interrogation of that young man who was the last person with her on the caravan site. I've just a note scribbled in my diary from that period in 2005. I've just written, interrogation, hooded men, balaclavas, enter house while he's being debriefed. That's the young man who was with Lisa, that he's hooded, told he's going into a hole in the ground, stun gun put to his face, gun to his head, and tape running. So that and those were the things that were going on in the background at that time. But it really was that case of rumour and information and all sorts of chit-chat doing the rounds, and no one being able to put that jigsaw together.
You heard there on yesterday's programme how Michael McConville called on loyalist politicians to step up to the plate. Can they do more, Brian?
I don't know, but someone knows. And I think Joanne made a very important point in her interview there when she said this can't sit easy with those who have information. So I suppose what the family is hoping for is that someone's conscience will lead them to doing the right thing, providing that piece of information. But, you know, they are in exactly the same place that many of those families were in that we've heard from in that documentary on the BBC this week, up against that wall of silence, dealing in that world of rumour, not knowing what to believe or who to believe, and just hoping that at some point, Pat's point there, that I hope we can find her in my lifetime, that this is not left to Lisa's sisters. So they're in that long wait. They're hoping, praying for information. But they know, of course, how long other people have had to wait. And it's hard to believe, even when I look into my diary now, that this is almost 9 years ago.
The thought, really, Brian, that it could take up to or more than 40 years, as some of those families have experienced, it doesn't bear thinking about for that family.
Well, none of us want to think about it that deeply, because none of us ever want to be in that type of situation. But I suppose the hope in this for the family, Lisa, is that in some of those IRA cases, information emerged. Some remains have been recovered. And those families will never give up hope because, the Dorian family need Lisa home. I think it was Joanne said, for their own peace of mind and for Lisa. So however long it takes, they're never going to give up. They're always going to ask their questions, and they're always going to have that hope that at some point there will be a breakthrough. I mean, it was, I think the first IRA statement I took on the disappeared was in 1999. That was 20, 30 years after some of those people had been disappeared by the IRA. So I suppose in this, there is always hope. And I go back to that point that Joanne made, that this can't sit easy with those who have the information and those who know. So at some point, you're hoping that that someone will do and say the right thing, provide that piece of information that that will lead to some sort of breakthrough in this case.
And finally, Brian, I think the pressure that must be on somebody who does hold that information. You know, what's very obvious from both the Darren McIntyre programme this week and from that interview with Lisa Dorian's family is that these people just don't give up. They can't give up.
And they won't give up and they won't go away. And I go back to that point that I made, that they will always ask their questions because they have to ask them, Lisa, because they have to have, in the Dorian case, they have to have Lisa back. They have to have somewhere where they can make that connection that that Joanne said in the interview, you know, when she was talking about the birth of her own child, when they were talking about birthdays and Christmas. We have nowhere to go to connect with Lisa. So they need somewhere. They need that information. They need people to help. And they need those who know. And there are people out there who know. They need those who know to do the right thing.